DG?
Shut up and sit down.
Hello and welcome to episode 64 of Geek Girls, a podcast in which geeky women, and sometimes guests, gather to record topical conversation and then offer it to the masses. The Geek Girls podcast is supported solely by our patrons at patreon.com/grills. I am the Jen, and I am here with my co-hostess with the mostest. That would be September, also known as 9 of 12.
Salutations.
Hello. Right, don't you mean salutations?
No.
I just had to go there. Oh, gosh. Okay. And today we have a guest who is a fantasy nerd and draws all things fantasy. This is Stephen Crow. Welcome.
Hi.
How are you?
I'm doing awesome. How are you guys doing?
Happy to be here. Happy to get you on. I know this has been several months coming, so very excited to have you. Yeah, awesome. Well, Amber, what have you been up to? What have you guys been up to?
Well, the Halloween Fairy project was very successful. I managed to get plenty of costumes for all the homeless children in Statesville, plus extra selections, and so I'm happy again with that project working out. It was a lot. It was 25-ish kids.
Wow. That's crazy. I know you do that every year, and I still think it's really awesome. I've never heard of people doing that before, and I think it's such a great project. The getting, you know, because I think you're right, like the way we talked about before, the memories of it, you're giving them, you're not just giving them something like physical, you know, like clothes or whatever. Of course, they need those things too, but at the same time, just giving them those memories is just awesome.
Well, everybody thinks about doing all their charity work at Christmas, but I was like, Halloween is a perfect opportunity to do something really special for the children. And then the other thing I do actually is when elections happen, I go over to the shelter and I like help them go vote during early voting when there's one-stop voting. So I have my own little geeky niche over there at the shelter.
That's awesome.
And Halloween Fair to take you to vote now. So what else? I watched this movie. You have to watch this movie. It's The Gamers, Darkness Rising. I highly recommend it to anyone who plays D&D. It was so much fun.
So
it was
silly.
Just incredibly meta. And there's a nice little, you know, they bring a girl in. And the stuff that happens there is really interesting. Like, you know, dude brings her and he's like, here's your characters. I read the book. I want to play my own character. And just what she kind of brings to the game. So that's neat. And it was just loads of fun. Super stupid. And, of course, I've been playing the heck out of Pokemon Go because they have that Halloween event. So I'm getting all my spoopy Pokemon and extra eggs for powering up my Gengar, who's like one of my favorites. And yeah, I keep running out of balls, which is a weird phenomenon.
Yeah, usually you do enough ball collecting. This whole conversation, I can't even. We're done. Checking out on the keeping the straight face while talking about your balls.
Well, it seems like what it seems like to me is instead of replacing the normal spawns, they're adding all these extra spawns of like the Duskull and the Sableye and the extra Ghastlies and stuff. So it's just a lot more Pokemon popping overall. So I keep running out of balls.
All right. So aside from Ember's ball issues, Crow, what have you been up to in your geeky side of the universe?
Over the weekend, I binge watched all of Stranger Things season 2. I won't say anything since I haven't really seen it all. And then I've been playing a crap ton of Fortnite. It's like in closed beta right now, but I guess it's like PUBG, which I'm saying like I know what that game's
yeah,
like.
Yeah, no, totally. This has been the thing. This is like supposed to be the PUBG competitor, right?
Yeah, and I've never played PUBG, so I can't say anything for or against it. But, I mean, they just drop you onto an island with a little pick where you can kind of like break rocks, trees, and stuff down to gather resources. But you want to go find guns. And the island's going to get smaller and smaller. And I'm not good at it, but I get so into it. My hands are like a little faucet of sweat, and it's so intense, and I love it.
That is the exact feeling that I get when I play PUBG. I got into that because Dills was streaming it and wanted me to play. So someone was kind enough to purchase it for me. And I was rocking out some PUBG, and that game, I feel like I'm gonna have a heart attack like every 5 seconds. Like I'm like, oh my God, somebody can see me. Oh my God. Like I freak out when I'm playing that game. Like it's worse than any horror game I've ever played. It's a little intense, but fun.
Interestingly, Fortnite Battle Royale is the next game we're reviewing on Part-Time Gamers.
Oh, nice. So
Awesome.
we'll have to hear what your take on it then soon, it sounds like.
It's going to be hard. That's all I know up front. Not my
Yeah,
game.
it can definitely be tough. Yeah, so what else have you been up to? It sounds like you had a few other things on deck, of course. A little busy with some projects, maybe.
I've been working pretty intensely on the next iteration of a board game that I've been developing since we met. It's gone through multiple phases actually since we met, but this is like the first time it's been like, okay, I'm redesigning like the character cards. I'm reworking kind of how some of the core mechanics work, so everything's a little more it just kind of explains itself without you having to figure anything out. I think one of the I don't know how much you want me to go into it, but I think one of the things people complained about in the game before was like, how do I track my abilities? Because it was just on a card, and now I'm going to be adjusting them and moving them over to like a separate card so you can actually put it down.
I'm really excited about that. Yeah, we'll definitely get into some more detail about this game, but just to let you know, the name of the game is Quest Forge Arena, and that is how we met. Mr. Stephen Crow was at Nerdtacular when I played the game and had so much fun playing it, and then all of my friends that played it thought it was amazing. In fact, some of my friends played an incredibly long game of it at Nerdtacular, but were just like raving about it. So I'm definitely something to check out. We'll make sure everybody has links to everything because it is super cool, and we want to make sure that people are supporting. I love to see fellow nerds, geeks, whatever, developing and working on cool projects. So yeah, we'll definitely get into some nitty-gritty for sure. That's awesome. So I have been playing a lot of video games all of a sudden again, which is good. Got my computer semi-functioning. I almost have the parts for my new computer. I'm only missing, just the processor, no big deal. But once I get that, I'll be able to stream again more consistently, which I cannot wait to do because I am playing some really fun stuff right now and I want to be able to share with people. So I've been playing Divinity Original Sin, the Enhanced Edition. The boyfriend and I have been playing hours of that, which has been somewhat painful. There have been many hours of just misclicks and then we get mad at each other, but it's super fun. So still much more of that. I did do a competitive season of Overwatch. That was my first time finishing in competitive. I did gold, which I guess wasn't too bad. That has been taking up quite a bit of my game time. And then Destiny 2 came out last week. So that has now completely taken all of my free gaming time. I'm running around shooting people and stuff and things. It's really smooth. It's really amazing. I can't wait to play it on my new computer versus the one I'm on right now. But it is definitely worth checking out. I did not play the first Destiny other than like maybe an hour. I just didn't couldn't get into it. I am all in on this. There's something about the style and the gameplay. I am having a blast. So thumbs up for Destiny 2. I did see Blade Runner 2049. It might be my favorite movie that I've seen in the last 5 years. That came, well, no, maybe, yes, maybe. Let's see, when did Mad Max Fury Road come out?
It was pretty damn good. That's all.
It's really fucking incredible. It's insane. I loved it so much. I don't care how long it was. I want to go see it in the theater at least twice more before it's out. I loved it. The music was incredible. The cinematography was insane. Go see it if you haven't. It's good. I did catch up on the current up to the current Walking Dead, except for last night's episode. I'm completely caught up for the first time from when I kind of took a break. Real life got crazy, couldn't keep up with it, so now I'm back into what is still one of my favorite shows. So I'm stoked to have that back. And I'll be keeping up every Sunday, hopefully, if I can figure out how to watch it. AMC just needs a standalone app. I will pay them. Let me pay you, AMC, so I can just have your shows. Like I will pay you a flat amount of money every month just to give me your shows. But we'll get there. Hopefully someday. But other than that, yeah, that's been a really busy geeky week, I guess, or couple weeks, as the case may be. With that, it is definitely time for the Geek Grapevine. All right, Ember, am I starting with the road spill?
Because it's yeah.
Okay. Truck crashes and spills Penny. I don't read these beforehand because it's more entertaining for me to read these as we get them. Okay. Truck crashes and spills pennies on I-95 in Delaware. I really want to talk about the irony of that. Delaware is one of the two states in the U.S. that like has limited tax costs for businesses to operate. So there's something kind of ironic that there's like pennies spilling on the highway.
Have all the pennies. Delaware.
Huh?
Have all the pennies.
Yeah, have all the pennies. In fact.
And they're blank, so you can print whatever you want on them.
Oh, my God. Oh, my God. A big rig carrying blank pennies heading to the U.S. Mint in Philadelphia slammed into a Jersey barrier and caught fire. Great. The driver suffered minor injuries, but was okay. That's good. Glad to hear that.
Jesus. All right, flaming copper. What could possibly go wrong?
What could go wrong? There's just fucking fire. Are you kidding me? Oh my God. Yeah. I wish they gave me the amount. I just want to know how many pennies are there. Say how many pennies. Tell me how many pennies.
See. Yeah.
Add like or add article.
It's probably a
Tell
security
me how many
issue.
Pennies. Oh yeah, probably.
They probably don't want the mint probably did not want us to know how much they ship at a time of copper, because copper itself is really valuable right now.
Yeah, that's
true. I don't know, some dad was find a penny, pick it up jokes the whole time.
Oh God, that's crazy. That's nuts. That was definitely a good poll though. It's crazy. Oh my God, the pictures are great. Yeah, look at the links on that one. The pictures are that's a lot of pennies. All right, rock on. Ember, what's this all about? Something about subscriptions, games, used games?
Yeah, so GameStop is apparently rolling out an all-you-can-eat subscription for used games. So, like, I don't know about you. Everyone I know, we go to GameStop to get used games.
Or to sell my games and then buy them, and then I wonder how many times the same game has been bought and resold at GameStop.
Right? And, like, their buyback, I mean, I feel like they're doing this on the wrong end, because their buyback prices are just terrible, bad. You can't get crap back after you spent full price on the game, like, not long ago. But this is not a bad idea. Basically, you subscribe to the service, and then you can kind of like a, what was the buy mail? Like, Redbox does a mail one, Netflix used to do the buy mail type
thing,
right?
Are you talking about Gamefly? I used to use Gamefly.
Yeah, kind of like that.
A service where you could have it shipped to you. You could just put a game on there that you wanted to play. And I loved it because I used to play a lot of RPGs. So I would go and I'd get a game. I'd get games through Gamefly. I never had to buy them. I just like have a subscription.
But apparently under the terms of this, you sub, you can pick up any used game, play it, return it, and get another as often as you want. And you keep the last one you take.
Huh. I like it. Yeah. They also rolled out their new plan for the power up rewards too. I'm a Power Up Rewards member, so I get a little bit more money back when I sell my games back. I also get a discount on, like, used stuff because I buy a lot of shit at GameStop, apparently, mostly.
Yeah, we have that, too.
We have a problem. So I have the Power Up Rewards, and they just rolled out a change to it, actually, where now they have, like, the Super Power Up Rewards and, like, get more benefits there. And I haven't quite looked into the details yet because I just got an email the other day, literally, like, 2 or 3 days ago about this, and I don't quite understand what all the adjustments are, but GameStop is obviously working hard to keep themselves relevant because, let's be honest, with the digital purchase, I don't have to go to GameStop anymore at midnight to pick up my games, you know? Now I just
accept
the download that in downloaded 2 weeks ago that I've been waiting for.
So, yeah. I go in there for, like, discounted swag, usually is about it.
I go in there for mini Funkos or for
big Funkos. Apparently, the Power Pass Unlimited Gaming goes on sale November 19th.
I will definitely check that out. I think that's cool. I support anything that lets me have an all-you-can-eat service for
60
games.
$60, 6 months. So, like, 10 bucks a month. Sweet.
So, is it just mail? Or can you actually, like, go in and say, hey, I want to... Is it almost like Blockbuster?
Kind of.
So, it's all... I think it's all in-store, right? You don't get anything mailed. Everything is to go to your store, right?
Yeah, that's what it looks like.
Yeah, so you just walk in, like, pick up your games.
Apparently, you have to be a Power Up Rewards member.
All right.
Yeah, that's only available only to the used game catalog in a store, physical discs, not from their online library.
So you have to be a PowerUp Rewards member. Oh no, you don't have to. You don't have to be a pro though. You just have to be a PowerUp. That's free.
Right.
Interesting. All right, that's cool.
I'm curious about if it carries store to store, because that's something that GameStop sucks at sometimes.
It has to. I mean, I do everything from one store to another. I have two stores I go to here.
I've like pre-ordered stuff, and they get really, like, they can't even if it's sitting there in their inventory, they can't switch it around. Like, they make me run to the other store.
Oh, for pre-orders, you have to, yeah, anytime that you pre-order sucks. Something, you have to get it from the store, because they get sent specifically to that store, and each store only gets so many. So I do know that that is absolutely true. Yeah, they do get really particular about that. But aside from that, they're pretty good about knowing, like, what I have bought or sold from one place to another, which I kind of like.
But I'm curious with this one, like, if they don't have anything I like over the one on the other side of town, maybe I can check the one over in Mooresville. Like, I hope the membership carries over for what games
you can
pick.
That's a good question. That's definitely true. Because, like, maybe I want to drop it off at one and pick it up at another. So that'll be good to check out. I know Halloween is already upon us, but I do want to mention that because they're going to be on for a little while on Netflix. But I'm throwing a link in here for the best horror movies that are on Netflix. I don't agree with everything on the list, but it's a pretty good list as far as things that you haven't checked them out that are good. Has some good ones. And then, of course, there's like the ones that have become my classics, which is like The Cabin in the Woods, which is so good. If you haven't seen it, see it. But of course, like classics, The Shining, you've got The Exorcist, you've got, you know, just all the ones you'd expect, plus a whole bunch of other ones that are on there. So check them out. They're still available even past Halloween. So I this time of year is fun to watch crazy movies. That pretty much makes me happy. I will have a link for this as well. So just want to throw it out there for all you weird conspiracy nerds and history nerds and whatnot. The next dump of 2,000 plus documents regarding the JFK assassination was released last week, and everybody is already tearing through it. There's some really good Reddit pages that are actually dedicated to pouring through it, so you don't have to feel like you need to read through those documents. There's some pretty interesting stuff. And then, of course, they're nice enough to link back to the specific documents so you can read it for yourself if something catches your eye. But I'll make sure I have a link. There was one site in particular that I liked the way they were handling it, so I'll share that. But yeah,
spoilers, he got shot.
Spoilers, JFK was assassinated. I know. You know, it's one of the things I like about it, though, is that this is one of those things that gets people kind of interested in and aware that that the National Archives does actually have shit like this on everything. And the fact that they're doing it digitally now is impressive, and I'm glad. But the National Archives has all kinds of weird shit that you can read if you're really, like, keen on it. But yeah, this is kind of crazy. There were some documents that were held back. I don't disagree with the decision to do that. There are some operatives that are still active that were mentioned in some of the documents that are being held back. So I'm kind of cool with that for their sake and also national security's sake. But in April, they're going to make some decisions about possibly releasing more. So those other ones that were held back. But of course, every conspiracy theorist ever is like, they're holding them back because it has the real information, which is, I don't know, whatever. People have fun. It's interesting. Spy stuff. It's cool. With all that being said, like I said, we have a guest today, and we've already gotten into it a little bit, but I'm going to give a little bit more background. I know I mentioned that the game was Quest Forge Arena, and I had super fun, much fun at it, playing it at Nerdtacular. But we have Stephen Crow here. I know in the time since we met him at Nerdtacular, I have caught a couple streams, drawing on stream, doing all kinds of fun stuff there. So we're going to dive in. Just to start with, I know Quest Forge Arena is something you've been working on for a very long time. How did this whole thing, how did this start? What got you started on this project?
As lame as it sounds, well, I always listen to music, so it's pretty normal, but that stupid Evanescence song that came out forever ago was one of the
Bring
first things
life?
That really, yeah, that song. In high school, I remember like hearing it, and I'd already had an idea for this video game, and it was like totally Grand Theft Auto meets Devil May Cry. So I started like, that sounds so vain. I totally started like making all these characters. And at that time, I absolutely hated fantasy. Hate all those characters. And then the Lord of the Rings fable and this comic book happened. Like, I fell in love with fantasy, and I took all those characters that were like in this futuristic vampire-y to lame, and I started translating them or bringing them over into like a fantasy setting. And there's been tons of iterations, and then like I just scrap almost everything, and then made it. Yeah, it originally started as like the idea was like I'm going to make a video game when I was like 15.
It's so funny how you can translate the characters across, though, even coming from like a different genre, that a lot of times we have those archetypes that can exist almost in everything. And as like a role play, as you know, it sounds like all three of us do role play games. Like that's definitely something you see, is that characters, if there's an archetype that's interesting, you can see that archetype in pretty much any system or game you play, no matter what the genre is. So it's not surprising that when you fell in love with fantasy, then you were able to kind of like move those characters over. Cause I can tell just with the characters, what caught my attention to the game in particular was the characters. They were fleshed out. They had depth, even though all you really saw was this image, of a character and then just a little tidbit about like what their role was and what their abilities were. You absolutely got a feel for who the characters were. They had just that, there's a way of drawing that has just conveys so much more about the character, and it immediately caught my eye. There was like two characters in particular. I was like, oh my gosh, I don't know who that is, but I want to play the shit out of her. Like, she's cool. Like, I want her on my team. And that's, I think, one of those things that makes any game really great, right? I think I play a lot of the video games I play because of the characters, and you can tell you've been with these characters for a long time.
Yeah, and I think, like, for me personally, that was probably, like, the best thing. Because Nerdtacular was the first time that we really had, like, a big showing of it. And, you know, after working on these characters for so long, thinking that, you know, I've got to put these characters out there and just hope that people like them. And Nerdtacular is totally, like, my crowd, right? Like, Blizzard came in pretty early when I started really liking fantasy. So being at Nerdtacular, like a big Blizzard fan group, it was like, okay, if they like it, then I'm doing things all right. So oh, then yeah, having everybody be like really like warm and giving like really awesome reception and great feedback was seriously probably the coolest moment in my creative life. Like, it was amazing.
Yeah, Nerdtacular is a really special event. I definitely have some I'm sad that it was my first Nerdtacular, because it has, for right now, is the last Nerdtacular, but that crowd is incredible, and I met so many cool people, and I think you're right, it's a really, all the communities that meet up at Nerdtacular are already such welcoming, awesome nerds, and then to, like, throw this in there and something that kind of piques their interest, they're going to be more than happy to share what they love, and that's what they like about it, and that's awesome that you're able to get that feedback. I know that's huge, especially any kind of a creative, right? That's like the scary part, but also the important part is getting that feedback. So I know you said you started. Oh, go ahead.
I was asked, how did you do, or did you get playtesting done before that?
Yeah, I do a lot of like comic conventions or pretty much any con that I can do. I'll go and I can sell art. So anytime like I had like an extra badge, we would just bring the game and then set up. And I was actually also teaching at a college, teaching some concept art for games. And they were having like an in-house little convention. And that was actually our very first one. But I mean, it was a very, very small thing. So Nerdtacular was easily like 5.
Right on.
So we'd done a little bit, but not like extensively. So Nerdtacular was like our big first showing.
That's really cool, though. How and what got you started? I guess, when did you, obviously you're an artist, like you're a creative. How did you get started? What, like, and how old were you? Did you just like, hey, oh my gosh, this is something I really like, or just like, oh, this is something I've been doing for a while. Like, did it kind of sneak up on you, or is it something you've kind of done since you were really little?
I've done it since I was, honestly, as long as I can remember, I was always drawing. And like my dad would draw in church and stuff and kind of like show me stuff. And I was like, oh, that's amazing. You know, and now like looking at it, it's like, man, my dad can't draw as good as I could in seventh grade. But nothing against my dad. I'm not saying I'm great, but it just wasn't great. But as a kid, you know, seeing it, I thought it was amazing. But more so than like drawing, I always just wanted to tell stories because there was a good little while where I was like, no, I'm going to direct movies. I went through this super snobby like director phase where I would only watch like those super artsy movies. I was like, yeah, Donnie Darko and Requiem for a Dream are my favorites. Like, Requiem for a Dream is a hard movie to watch. I don't know how I would watch
just
it
like
over and
to
over.
Know, Jesus, the first time I watched Requiem for a Dream, I was media deprived growing up. My mom had rabbit ears and that was it. So I was a freshman in college the first time I saw Requiem for a Dream, and one of my buddies from one of the buildings over and his roommate was like, no, you got to watch this movie. I watched that movie and they were like, hey, you want to hang out and play some games? And I was like, no, I'm going back to my room now. I might hang myself. I don't know. I'll be back.
That's like, totally warranted.
It was just awful. Like, I just felt like the most sullen and, oh, sorry for triggering anybody on that one. But like, no, I literally, those were the words that came out of my mouth. And like, I just walked back and my roommate, when I got back to the room, was like, what happened? I was like, I just watched Requiem for a Dream. And she was like, oh, honey, oh, it's okay.
This is like classic fare for you just got to college and took your first philosophy class and you go all off the deep end with the existentialism, like, and then you sit and watch that movie with your friends.
Yeah.
And all and yeah.
Yeah. No, that movie affected me. Funny thing is Donnie Darko affected me too. It's funny that you mentioned those two. Those two movies definitely hit me very hard. And a lot of it, I do think, is because I was so media deprived that I fell for all the tricks that are in those movies. And that's actually why I have a hard time even with modern shows, because modern shows are graphic as shit. You can tell such a story with visuals. You can tell just a deeper story, unfortunately, you can with writing. Like, as a writer, it kind of makes me sad sometimes that I can't do quite the same thing with words. Of course, I mean, there's some writers that can. That's why they're famous writers. But, you know, it is what it is.
Jen mentioned that you stream drawing as well. What sort of tools you use? You physically draw? Do you use digital tools?
Yeah, so I've got one of those Cintiqs, the 22HD, and then I'm just using Photoshop. My streaming schedule is ridiculous, though, because on a Wednesday morning, and then you'll see me on like 3 weeks later on a Thursday night. I have no like consistency, but and it's kind of like who can I show and what can I show that I'm working on at the time, because sometimes it's commissions, sometimes it's contract work. And then there's other times where I'm working on board game stuff that I just don't want to show, because when I do kind of like finally like take the lid off and show everybody what I've been working on, like for instance, a few cards that are officially done, and the ones that Jen saw, those are just the character designs. So if people were getting excited about the character designs, they're going to be cool when they see it, or they're going to be excited when they see dynamic kind of like the actiony pose. Like, we've got an archer girl who's from the woods, and she's got like a dire crow that like she uses as one of her abilities, and her card is her hunting in the woods with her dire crow perched on her shoulder, but it's not like a stagnant shot like the ones that I had at Nerdtacular.
Cool.
That's awesome, because considering how totally excited I was just in the way you conveyed the characters in their still poses, that's gonna be really incredible. So I see a lot of various art that you've been doing in the like Lord of the Rings stuff, and it looks like some D&D characters. So are some of those things just, are those commissions that you're doing? Are those like things you're doing for friends, for you? I've noticed a lot of the Lord of the Rings stuff in particular.
Yeah, the Lord of the Rings, just kind of like I said earlier, I do a lot of comic conventions. And for a while, that was actually like my whole living, like when I traveling to comic conventions and there. Most of that was like chibi stuff though. But I really kind of wanted to do something that was going to like push me to get to like the next level, you know, artists never being happy with where they're at. So I think Lord of the Rings was perfect because I was terrified to draw them, just because it's like, don't want to like destroy or
it's
make
iconic. Yeah.
Yeah. And like the other thing is like my art's pretty cartoony and, like, stylized. And Lord of the Rings is so classic. drawing Aragorn with the sword that I drew him with, it kind of looks a little ridiculous. Trying to hit that balance, and it seems like people liked it. I don't know, I guarantee you some Tolkienite's going to come up to me and be like, dude, awful, what are you doing?
Well, Tolkien people can be a little...
I was going to say, just tell them to crack open the Silmarillion again and just be quiet. Like, it's honestly, like, you're never going to make them happy. They're just like, they're the ones that are like, well, according to Tolkien, we have that. I'm like, great, rock on. It's a good story. Calm down, you know?
Yeah. Funny, because I'm actually one of those people. So I think that might partially be why I was so terrified to draw Aragorn and Legolas and Gimli.
Oh, no. No.
I think the style is proven, though. I mean, pop figures are a little bit successful.
That's true. That's totally true. So what, I've also seen some D&D stuff, so, or what I think is D&D, could be like Pathfinder. What do you play? Do you play tabletop RPGs?
Yeah, we've been doing a campaign in Pathfinder for, it's over 4 years now, because I've been in my relationship for 4 years, and we were playing that. So yeah, we've been in a singular campaign for 4 years. I've had two characters that I've played die. And those drawings that I'm doing are actually of my party. I've been promising to do them for years. And every year it's like I get swamped with something else that gets in the way. Like this time last year I had like three contracts lined up that were going to take me into January. And I was like, okay, well, I'm never going to get a chance to get to those. But this year, like, things are pretty mellow. So I'm like, all right, I'm totally going to.
That's really awesome. I have not been in a campaign that long, I think because I moved too much. But I really admire the ability to stick with the campaign. I have been having a lot of fun with Pathfinder, actually. I got into Pathfinder a little bit a couple years ago and then recently got into it again. Unfortunately, the timing isn't going to work for me to be able to continue the game I was playing in. But I will say that I had a lot of fun in Pathfinder. I was having a very good time with that game, for sure. It was, coming from like vampire tabletop, werewolf tabletop, it was interesting to go into something where it's like, no, the actions that you take are defined, but yet still finding that opportunity to be creative and role play through it and maybe kind of make it your own is kind of a challenge, but very fun challenge. I played a dwarf inquisitor that I had a stupid amount of fun with. And I know Ember does lots of tabletop gaming too.
Kinda. Darren is killing it, by the way, and we've gone back to streaming the D&D.
Yay.
He's good at it. He describes, like, the effects when they go off when we do stuff.
Well, that's cool.
And he's surprisingly respectful of the RP. He's grown a lot as a gamer. Like, when we dragged him in, he didn't know what it was. He bought dice. Yeah, so that's been kind of neat, and he's letting me be creative. Like you just mentioned, I thought of that, because I do miss that about the storytelling system, that creating your effects from the different talents, but you know, D&D seems more defined. But you know, we were flipping a lever, and it got stuck, and I had knock, and like, you can use it to open something that's closed, but it wasn't closed. I couldn't use it to just flip a lever, but when it got stuck, he let me use it to like unstick it. So, you know, stuff like that. It's in there without power gaming too much.
No, you got to have those room, the opportunity to be creative, I think. Otherwise, it's like, why bother?
That's the best thing about some of that stuff, is like just how you can literally go off the rails and change things. Like the first character that I had that died, there was no reason for him to die, but I went and I blew up some dwarven ale to get these goblins to, or these gnomes to let us free. And it was like, I just decided, or I ended up burning to death because the explosion knocked me down. I think it was -8. And then before the party could get, it took 2 burning damage. So out to dead.
Well, see, that's the fun stuff though. Those are the great stories.
Right? Like, totally. Those... Darren had this big bad minotaur that was going to like, be his big boss against us, and Josh threw like grease, and then the minotaur kept slipping and slipping, and then Rob used like scorching ray and it like set out on fire, and we took him down really fast. And the giant spider was really funny, and the grease spell too. So All I could think of was that scene in Harry Potter with the ridiculous the roller skates.
Oh my god, that's ridiculous. That is ridiculous. So, I know you mentioned. I just want to make sure, like, I was catching that correctly, because I'm kind of a noob for all that stuff. So that's one of the Wacom tablets that you're using, right?
Yeah, and it's okay. One of the ones that's actually like the screen. So, I feel like it's the closest thing that you're going to get to traditional drawing going digital. Because I tried to use just like a tablet, and I could not get that hand-eye coordination.
Yeah, that was my exact question. So, I'm guessing you started on, you know, pen, paper, pencil, paper. I was going to ask you, how has that shift been going into like digital? Because it sounds like that's how you started.
It was awful at first, to be honest with you. I thought that I could color stuff with a mouse, and I even did a comic book with the comic book company I was with for years. I actually just left for the board game earlier this year, but they originally told me no when I tried to join them because I was a naive kid. Hey, let me join you. And they're like, but I was like, cool, I'm going to do my own comic book just to stick it to you guys. So I did a comic book and I colored it with a mouse. And that was like the first time really jumping into digital, like, and it's so bad. It's so bad. It's funny. It's actually what the Quest worked where it started. The first comic book I did, it used to be called Battle Scrolls. Some name changes. Got through a lot of changes, but yeah, going digital is completely different. And honestly, even like if I go traditional now, my stuff looks way different. I haven't been able to fully translate how I worked traditionally into the digital stuff.
Questforge is a really good name from watching people play a little bit. Maybe you could explain to our audience a little of the mechanics of Questforge Arena?
Yeah, for sure. So basically what it is you're going to get with one of your friends and you guys are going to both pick three characters from a massive lineup. I think we had, how many did we have at the con? Was it? Either 15 or 12 or 15. We've got a total of 24 characters now. And we were planning for the Kickstarter, and that's all like stretch goals and all that, but we'd have like a mass of 36 with being stretch goals. But it almost has like a turn-based combat style, but it's like turn-based combat PvP. So you're going to roll for initiative, kind of like in standard like D&D and stuff, and whoever rolls the higher initiative gets to go first. But then once they go, then it'll be your turn, and then you just kind of like go back and forth until everybody spends all their action points, and then you kind of set the round and re-roll it.
You know what's really funny about this is that it is absolutely something that has been the style. It's so funny that you mentioned that, because now I'm seeing so many parallels between this and Divinity. And I have a ton of friends that are going back and playing the first Divinity, because of course the second Divinity just came out. But also it's about that going back to that turn-based game and getting out of the system of playing these hyper action games, which is where a lot of video games are at this point, that I feel like maybe that's one of the big reasons why it pulls me out of that. And it makes it so much more fun to do some of the things I would do in that type of a game, but then to do it on a tabletop setting, essentially, in like in a game format. That's really interesting, because I didn't really notice that before, but that is definitely one of the things that drew me to it, was I'm getting some of the same story type things I would get from those hyper action games, but in a board game format.
Yeah, I think that like that's kind of one of the things that we really want is it's awesome to have online games, but I mean, it seems like you never get local co-op anymore. So it's like, I feel like board games and just tabletop stuff is the best way to kind of sit down. But all my friends are like smack talkers like crazy. So if you have a competitive game where you can like smoke the other dude, there's going to be so much trash talk. And like the tournaments that we've had have gotten so funny and things have been so close. But there's been so much smack talk.
I know Vile and Bad Weave had quite the battle royale.
Oh,
two.
I can't even. I'm sorry I missed that.
It was very, very long. I actually didn't catch it. I just saw them playing it, and then it was told later that they had a very, very long game, but it was really fun, and they both loved it so much. But it was their adventure was was a long battle between
the two. Were they the guys that went near the end?
Yes, yeah, at the game night, absolutely.
Yeah, they had such a close game, and it was like, it had such wild sways where one would be like dominant and on top, and all of a sudden the other one would just start storming back, and then like it kept swinging and swaying, and I was like, this is insane. And I think that's like, it just as like a creator, right? Like, back to that, seeing people, for one, invest in the characters that I've worked on for so long, and then had help from Caden to really flesh out, seeing people get so into them and then have so much like fun just playing it, and then have that like competitive like fun coming out of it. I think that was one of my favorite games to see because those sways were so real.
Well, geez, and the back and forth went so long with experienced gamers, and that kind of, that speaks to me that the game has to have a really solid balance for that to be able to happen.
Exactly. That's exactly one of the things. Yeah, exactly. That is a sign of a good game. When you don't feel like, oh, they're playing so-and-so, so I'm screwed. Bip, game over. Like, it's, you got to have that back and forth. That's awesome. So I know that there's a plan to do a Kickstarter. Is that still the plan? Where does kind of, what's the, obviously that's the project you're working on right now. What's the roadmap look like? Of course, we won't hold you to anything. Just trying to get an idea of what our listeners can expect and on where this project is headed here in the next few months.
Yeah. So we actually wanted to launch the Kickstarter, 21st. But as we got closer, we kind of realized, like, for one, the game wasn't 100% finished where we wanted. The balance that you guys just brought up, like, it's pretty good in terms of balance, but it's not quite there. And, like, say we fund, like, let's just say we funded when we were planning to run it, we would want you guys to have that game in your hands by January. I mean, we got our quote, we got a lot of the business stuff taken care of, but we didn't get the marketing push balance to where we wanted it. So we kind of pulled back, and that pullback, honestly, we probably needed a month or two to kind of say, okay, we need to build some marketing and launch. But then looking at it, it's going to put us really behind in the tax season. So in order to make it so we can not necessarily have to pay those taxes, it's going to just make it easier if we launch around March or April of next year.
Perfect. So that's going to give you some time too for people to be able to check out your streams and get to know you guys and the team. I love it.
But we're going to be refining the game through the rest of the year. Honestly, like, I'm working on not just the board game, but I'm actually working on books that will probably come out hopefully around the same time, so people can kind of get to know the characters a little bit more. But
I love it. I'm really a nerd.
Yeah, and seriously, there's so much. So I'm really, really excited.
Well, man, I am really excited to share. Like I said, we'll definitely get some links out. We want to make sure we've got your the streaming channel so everybody knows where to catch it when you are drawing. And it's okay. Hey, I get it. Like, sometimes it's hard to get that schedule done. Believe me, as a streamer, it's been a fun couple months. But no, I'd be back on it's hard to maintain that schedule even when you're doing it regularly just because things just shift and change. But we'll definitely get some links out there so people can follow. And as always, you can reach out to our guests directly, or if you want to jump in on the conversation, you can do that by emailing us at geekgrills@gmail.com or give us a ring at 508-474-5577. So I sincerely hope that you are feeling properly marinated, that you feel that we've really tenderized you with all of our questions. Because we're about to grill you. So I hope you're ready.
Grill away.
All right. So I'm going to give you a series of rapid fire questions, my friend. And you're just going to tell me the first thing that comes to your head. There's no wrong answers here. So let's go. First of all, let's start easy. What is your favorite color?
Blue.
All right. When you were a kid, what did you want to be when you grew up? Sounds like we may have answered this one.
Yeah, I think just a storyteller.
Yeah, all right, I dig it. If you could choose to stay a certain age forever, what age would that be?
30. I'm 32 now, and I feel like 30 is perfect because I realized that I didn't know what the hell I was doing at 25, but I also know that I don't know what the hell I'm doing now, and I'm young enough to just keep going.
I dig it. I dig it. Okay. And what was the first thing you remember buying with your own money?
God, it took me so long to have actual money. Oh, not allowed to have most of the money that I made. It was all put into a savings account for me.
Look at your parents. Damn. Like, mine were like, all right, whatever. Well, no, to be fair, I didn't really have any either. It was...
you seriously cannot remember.
You got a savings account.
Yeah, the first thing I really remember spending money on was I spent $10 on Battle Chasers number 9, which was the last issue of the comic that's come out thus far. But I had to spend another $80 on the boot on my car because I parked in a Burger King illegally to run across to get the issue.
Oh, Hayden.
Oh, God. That's like the most expensive. Oh, man. That's a good story, though. If you could be reincarnated as an animal, what animal would you choose to be reincarnated as? Or what animal do you think you'd be reincarnated as?
Have to be real. It has to be real.
Oh, is there a creature that you'd rather be?
I'd probably go lion, because lion. Right. I want a cool mane. I had really long hair at one point. I like that for my mane.
All right, I dig it. I dig it. I cannot believe meeting you without long hair. That's hard to believe, but I believe that I believe you when you say that. It's just hard for me to imagine it.
You just gotta scour my Instagram. There's one on there. I'll forward it to you so you can see. It is majestic.
I want to see a cartoon version. I want you to draw yourself, go all like Shadowrun. And...
yeah, for sure.
It was back in like my World of Warcraft days when I was like crazy into PvP. Back when the Horde was good at PvP.
Yeah. Yep.
I literally just looked like one of those Horde kids. I was always wearing a leather jacket with long hair. I looked like Samwise Didier's wannabe mini-me.
I love it. I love it. What's your number one song right now? What's your jam right now?
Oh, it's one of the... It's the first track on the new We Came as Romans. It's like Clipped Wings of Vultures. One sec. I'm going to look it up. Can I look it up? Do I have that time?
You can look it up. I'm going to give you one last question. So while you're looking it up, ponder this last and final question. If you were immortal for a day, what would you do?
I am. I would skydive. Give any like links to the videos, but I've done some bad stuff as is. I may jump from a plane with no parachute. I mean, it's going to suck.
Yeah. But worth the experience?
Pretty cool. What? I may burn myself too. Am I going to look the same? Or if I'm going to heal like Wolverine, I'll like light myself on fire. Because I think that would be an interesting thing.
I dig it. That's awesome. And it's the first track on the new...
Yeah, the song is called Vultures with Clipped Wings. I have been listening to that on repeat. Right. Like, crazy. I think it's been out for about a week, but I've been going on it.
I dig it. Well, that is awesome. Congratulations. You were successfully grilled. Well done. Well, you weren't well done. I prefer medium rare personally, so you were medium rare.
I want to be well done.
All right,
depend
grilled.
On what you're cooking.
That's true, right? It does depend. That's true.
You don't All want right, like grilled. Medium rare chicken.
Oh, God. Yeah, no. Ugh. Ugh. I had a chicken sandwich recently where that was the experience. And I was like, I didn't think this happened ever at restaurants. Like, it was kind of gross. And they're like, oh, it's fine. We'll bring you a new one. And I was like, can I get something else that won't kill me if you don't cook it properly?
That would be ideal. No death, please.
Ideal. No death before BlizzCon.
Don't want the side of salmonella sauce.
So, grills and honorary grill friends, what are you most anticipating right now? Ember, what's on deck for you?
Well, continuing to watch the rest of season 2 of Stranger Things. And, of course, we have Lucifer and Gotham back on tap. So TV nights are a thing again, which is nice. And on Thursday, I will be recording. I'm going to be a guest on the Ritual Misery podcast.
Yay!
Yay! Love them. More people we met at Nerdtacular.
That's right. Well, and Amos and Del Noche. It's gonna be awesome. Kent and Amos are awesome dudes. We should make sure to have a link for that so people can check it out. Lifestyle for sure. They actually made the switch over to Twitch.
It's gonna be live like on Diamond Club TV, isn't it?
Yep.
I'm getting fancy.
I got a little nervous, to be honest. When I did my Ritual Misery recording, I was a little nervous, but it was very fun. I definitely look forward to catching that. I will probably not catch it live though, because I'm doing something that's similar to what our guest has on deck. So, what are you looking forward to there?
BlizzCon.
Yeah, that's pretty much it, right? Is this your first BlizzCon?
Yeah, I've never gone. I've always wanted to go. And even like with the three rounds of tickets, we didn't score them in there. We had to get them off of eBay.
Yeah, so I last year was my first BlizzCon, so this will be my second. I also did not score tickets on any of the rounds of ticket selling, but I bitched about it so incessantly that somehow someone got a hold of me on Discord and was like, "Hey, I heard you were looking for a ticket and I have an extra one for sale." So further proof that the whiny nerd eventually gets their BlizzCon ticket, apparently.
That's so cool. I'm glad that you get to go again, because I can't imagine, like, talk to people who've been to BlizzCon. Sounds like you just never want to miss it again.
Yeah, no, pretty much. It was so much fun, and I can't help but feel that it's going to be really, really amazing again this year. I will also be at BlizzCon. It is, oh my God, I leave in 2 days, or so 3 days, I guess. I don't know, it's crazy. It's hard, like, I'm in sales, so, like, it's month end right now, and I'm like, okay, packing for BlizzCon, but, like, my brain can't focus on that until the 1st, but I fly out, like, at 6 o'clock in the morning on the 2nd. So, my brain is exploding. I'm so jealous.
I can't stand it.
I know, but I'm going to share stuff. I'm going to try to do what I didn't do last year, because I didn't have a phone that could do it very well. I'm going to try to Facebook Live some stuff this year, so that I'm not, I can put that on my Facebook page. I'll make sure everybody knows about it, and try to do a little bit more of that this year. And I will try to get as many pictures as I can, like I did last year, so that everybody can feel like they're there with me. And everybody continue to message me and be like, "Oh my God, did you hear? Did you see?" Because usually I'm really excited about the panel that I just saw, and then I immediately want to talk to my internet peoples. So yeah, message me. It's gonna be fun. I can't wait. Like I'm going nuts. I'm pretty excited. Oh, BlizzCon. All right. So
I want to let our audience know I do plan to record an episode while you're gone and super occupied. You can watch Jen's Facebook and probably the Geek Girls one for her updates from that event. And I will be talking with my local comic book store guy.
Yay! So you won't miss an episode of Geek Girls, even though I will be in Anaheim. Oh, the other reason I'm super excited is because when BlizzCon is over, I'm doing 2 days in Disney with my mama. So I have not been to Disneyland since my senior year of high school, and I have not been on a trip with my mother since my senior graduation trip, which was a long time ago. So as far as a trip, just the two of us, not with anybody else. So I'm kind of excited to have a couple days for us to adventure and enjoy Disney together. So that's going to be really cool too. I'm super stoked.
Oh, good time of year. You can get maybe some Markdown Nightmare Before Christmas stuff.
Mm-hmm. And the rides are all set up until the 10th to do all the special stuff for Halloween. So that'll still be going on when I'm there.
Sweet.
Perfect. So
I'm super stoked about that. That is going to be really fun. Since I share a birthday with Walt Disney, I've always been very tied to the Disney stuff. And then my grandmother lived in Anaheim, so growing up, I got to go to Disneyland a lot, and it's crazy that it's been 16 years since I've been, so that'll be pretty cool. Patrons, we love you. You guys are all awesome. Please continue to share feedback. Please continue to share stuff about what you're liking, what you want to see. I did get a little bit of a couple suggestions for guests and some other things, so I am definitely happy to hear that. If you are not a patron, you would like to become one, you can definitely support us. We really appreciate it at www.patreon.com/grills. So help us out.
Another thing you can do to support us is leave us a review on iTunes. It helps other people find us, keeping us higher in the searches. Just go leave some stars, hopefully all the stars. Maybe write something nice. We appreciate it.
Yes. So where can everybody find you on the interwebs, Ember?
I can be reached at 9of12, it's NINEOF12 on Twitter and Twitch, and you can hear me on the Part-Time Gamers podcast, that's at Caffeine Induced Productions. Whew, my mouth's getting tired.
Can you say that 18 times fast, though? No. Oh, man. I actually caught the second to last episode of Part-Time Gamers. You guys are really, it's fun stuff. If you haven't checked it out, they have a good time. And the plays that you guys have been doing, like the Let's Plays, like that's been really cool.
It is so much fun to play with the guys.
Totally. I completely support. We'll definitely include links to everything. But Mr. Stephen Crow, let everybody know where they can find you and your stuff and your things.
You can find me at Instagram at CrowsTunes, CrowsToons, or on Facebook at The Quest Forged Arena. Or no, there's no the. So Quest Forged Arena.
Awesome. And we'll definitely make sure that everybody has links. And as always, you can find me at The Gen Says on Twitter and streaming at twitch.tv/TheGenPlays. And because it's relevant to BlizzCon coming up, you can also catch my Facebook page, facebook.com/TheGenPlays. And thanks for listening, everyone. Good game.
GG.
Well played.
Enjoyed the show and have the quill skill to shriek speech? Leave us a 5-star unique critique on iTunes or thrill us with the size of your handbill by spilling goodwill into our tills at patreon.com/grills. We can also be found windmilling around Facebook and YouTube at facebook.com/geekgrills and youtube.com/geekgrills, where we like to chill. Tweet your siren songs where the throngs belong on Twitter at geekgrills, where we're dressed to kill. For more info on the show, though, go to geekgrills.com, where you can find previous episodes, show notes, and current contest information. Send us your psalms and qualms to geekgrills@gmail.com or give us a ring at 508-474-5577, where we can hear your lovely voice sing the zing thing. Thanks for listening.